is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Earlene McMichael. Coming up on Tuesday, January 22nd, is the third annual National Day of Racial Healing, timed to be one day after MLK Jr. Day. The observance in Kalamazoo will be an evening community celebration featuring poetry, music, the sharing of stories, and food at the Girl Scouts building. Organizers say they deliberately chose a celebratory tone this year.
Because the work can be so heavy, racial healing is deep. It's really peeling back the layers of a lot of trauma. We wanted to engage with the community, but we also wanted to engage in a non-scary type of way, if you will. To continue the work, we have to be healthy, and part of healthy is letting loose sometimes.
Community activist Ed Genesis, along with Lana Lewis, a community investment officer at the Kalamazoo Community Foundation, also joined us to provide an update on Kalamazoo's racial healing project. Kalamazoo is one of 14 cities participating in a long-term racial healing project funded by the Battle Creek-based W.K. Kellogg Foundation. The foundation created the National Day of Racial Healing in 2017 to kick off its Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Initiative, called TRHT for short. Ed, I understand that you're helping pull together what's going to happen that day.
Yes, we have a full day. It'll be celebratory as well as educational. We'll be breaking down the things that we do within TRHT as well as sign up more people, educate, teach, and try to get more people to get on board with the racial healing movement because it's very needed.
Lana, update us on what's going on since the last time we talked about this. You're with the Kalamazoo Community Foundation. You're a community investment officer there, and you're overseeing this effort that's working with a lot of community partners. What's going on now? Where are we now?
Sure. And so we are one of 14 locations across the country, and we get the opportunity to connect with them on a regular basis. What we're doing now is part of the complexity of this is that it really is a process. So the idea is it's not preconceived what the specific activities will be and what your community needs to heal. So what we had to do first was visioning and really building relationships. And we started to do that in a meaningful way and really focused on that in 2018. So now what we've been doing, I've worked with Ed and others. We have about 15 people that are coming together as a leadership to implement some of the stuff we that came out in the visioning, where over 100 people were involved. And we also want to make sure that voices that weren't involved at the table when we did the visioning across the community, neighborhood residents, business leaders, et cetera, have an opportunity to also give input on the things that we felt are important for our community to heal. So we're getting ready to kind of do piloting and testing of different strategies and programs and projects so that we can really understand what the community needs for the long run. So we're focusing on a year-long kind of pilot phase now.
And there are several areas that you're looking at in terms of dealing with racial healing. Can you enumerate some of those areas that you're looking at?
Sure. So that really helps me to understand the acronym TRHT, Truth, Racial Healing, Transformation. The truth is really about telling the truth about where we are and where we've come from. And that is focus on the narrative change area. So we have folks working specifically on narrative change, education curriculum, working with the media, arts, etc. Then we have the racial healing, which Ed is helping with, and really is about bringing people together, developing a shared humanity, building relationships, healing ourselves individually, and as a community. And we know that in order to heal, we also need to address systemic issues that can be causing harm and have caused harm. So that's when the transformation piece comes out. And then the other three areas that really I feel fall under transformation areas are the law, economy, and separation, which is really about historical segregation and the impacts across housing, education, and health and different sectors that have an impact on segregation.
What I'd like to talk a little bit about is, tell us about this pilot phase that you're going to be doing. What are some tangible things that we might see in that phase and timelines?
So lots of healing circles, which is why I wanted to really bring Ed with me today. Lots of healing circles where we're going to bring the community together in groups of 10 to 20 to build relationships and explore different issues. However, that's not the only way we heal. And so that's one of the things we want to lift up through the event and introduce the different ways to approach healing work that all of our racial healing leads are really exploring as a part of their role, so that we know that everybody might need something different in order to heal. And so we're going to be talking about what that looks like at the event. You can also expect to think, depending on what sector you're in, there may be some trainings, convenings that are specific to your sector and conversations that will happen specific to your sector through the next year. So really this event is a great introduction for people who just kind of want to check it out and see what's going on and see where they fit in.
At the National Day of Healing. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is each of these different, I think it's like five different areas, will hold discussions and things like that.
There will be some publicized events and some that are really targeted at a specific audience. So some are really specific to certain industries and sectors.
You talked about how this year you're going to have healing circles. People can sign up for that?
Yes.
What is the commitment for that and what's going to happen?
Each healing circle is a couple hours generally. We do ask folks to kind of prepare and think about follow-up. So it's an ongoing body of work. It really is a personal commitment just as much as a professional commitment. But we want to stay open for people to kind of come in and out of it as they feel comfortable.
You're listening to West Southwest Brief. We're talking to local activist Ed Genesis and Lana Lewis of the Kalamazoo Community Foundation for an update on Kalamazoo's racial healing project. There'll be many healing circles of up to, 20 people in it, and they will continue to meet on an ongoing basis, is what you're saying? Or is it kind of a one and done?
So the healing process and being a part of the process, it's not a firm commitment to come to any more than one, but we really hope people stay along with us.
What happens at the healing circle? Is it kind of like anti-racism training?
You thinking of your race?
Right. What is different with the healing circle?
I'm going to say it's way different. There aren't any more trainings like this at the moment in Kalamazoo that I'm aware of that approaches racial healing in this type of way. There's activities and other trainings, and that's not to knock any other organization or any other training, because I believe that they all can be helpful because it's all community. But with TRHT is just taking an approach of uncovering trauma that is not talked about a lot. And a lot of it is racial trauma. America was based on principles that are racist, basically. And we deal with a lot of that trauma daily. So when we get in the rooms, it's just breaking down the walls, the guards, and that's why it's the truth part, is to be real about this is the playing field that we're on, and it lacks equity a lot of times, definite equality, and we have to be for real about those things. So it doesn't mirror any other training that I've been in or part of or even facilitated. It's a total different approach.
So there's value to coming to this training if you've had others. They all can kind of build upon each other.
Yes.
And be complementary.
Really, we don't talk about this as a training. It really is more about building relationships, having dialogue, and sharing stories, and not necessarily about being taught something. We're teaching each other something as a part of the process. So it is highly complementary to a training where you explore the technical issues, the historical dates, times, things of that nature in a typical training. But, you know, this circle is a tool that you can use in a lot of different settings.
As far as this particular effort, is there an end game, an end time? Like, okay, we're convening for 5 years, we're convening for 10.
Well, our hope is that it will be an ongoing and permanent body of work in the community. And, you know, we're working with the Kellogg Foundation for a 5-year grant period, and it's been a year and a half almost. However, we are setting up an endowment that we hope to match so that we can have sustained efforts, at least funds for sustained efforts for the long run. And we really do see this work as an ongoing lifetime commitment.
Any closing thoughts, Ed?
I just would like to piggyback on that and say that, yes, I look forward to it being ongoing, because there is deep, deep racial trauma in America that we've been dealing with. And the opportunity to talk about it and actually deal with it in a real and healthy way, I think is amazing. So I look forward to staying on and building it up as much as I possibly can within my power and assisting with everybody else, and just giving props to Lana for even allowing me to be a part of it as well.
A question that I want to ask is, how important is this work in this particular community?
I'd say it's deeply, deeply important. I think that some of the conversations that we have as a community, we talk about equity a lot. We talk about the disparities of life experiences a lot. We talk about infant mortality. We talk about graduation rates. These are just some of them. We don't always talk about what that means to us personally. And I think that at this time, for the whole country and really the world, this work is so deep and important, because so many of the issues that many folks, such as myself, Ed, and others have been working on for years are finally coming to the surface in a way. And I think people are seeking this type of work out because they have unanswered questions. You know, unanswered questions that they're being confronted with on a daily basis in a way that we haven't been in a long time. And so that's true for the whole country. But I would say it's particularly true for Kalamazoo because of some of the disparities that we have in our community are really worse than, you know, we make the bottom of the list in a lot of areas that I don't think that we would like to see ourselves in that way. So I think this is very complementary to thinking about addressing the social issues that we see in a different way.
Do you see this effort as something that has arms wide open to everyone?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we hope that people can enter in and feel comfortable. And again, why we're looking at the National Day of Racial Healing as a celebratory thing, because we really want folks from all walks of life to feel that they can be a part.
On Tuesday, January 22nd, from 6 to 8 p.m., the public is invited to the National Day of Racial Healing Celebrating How We Heal event at the Girl Scouts building in Kalamazoo. West Southwest is produced by WMUK, the public radio station licensed to Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. You can subscribe to the podcast through Apple iTunes and Google. There you can leave a rating and write a review. I'm Earlene McMichael.